like I'm too tired to talk. Good morning, W8RCY. I've been sitting here looking at the microphone for the last 5 minutes, thinking, am I up to talking? I think I'm getting better. How are you doing here for it? Up around 34 in Van Dyke, there's a car crash, you know, but Dakota's listening, be aware. Other than that though, I'm fine, you know, just getting ready for the weekend, and I fly out tomorrow night, so, yep, this weekend and next weekend, one more year. I said that last year, but, yeah. I got medically cleared to do it, so off I go. And where, pray tell, are these races? I'm guessing down south. Yep, the same endurance races out of a 12-race schedule. There's only five of them, plus the preliminary spring test and shakedown, which is this weekend. Then I got a 24 in Daytona, a 12 in Sebring, a pair of sixes, one in Wisconsin, one in New York, and then I got one in Georgia, late September, early October. I don't remember that exact date off the top of my head. But the only thing that enticed me back was the fact that one of the races is going to a bigger track on a much more hilly terrain. And it's just a great venue, and they don't want me to leave for that one. So I said, all right, if I clear medically, I'll do one more year. So hopefully this all turns out well, and I make it through the year with no problem. But back-to-back Daytona weekends. I'll be home Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I can't be gone for 2 weeks. That would drive me nuts.
I assume you're flying down, right? What's the airfare down there?
Fortunately, NASCAR, stock car people who are the parent company to IMSA, they provide transportation as long as you make their flights on time. So I have to be at the airport at 5 o'clock, or I leave for the airport at 5. Flight leaves 8 o'clock out of Pontiac, Oakland. And it's zero cost. If I decide to leave sooner or I miss my flights back, that's the only time it's out of my pocket. But, nope, they send out 5 airplanes across the country to pick up officials and medical personnel and things like that to do these events, and they'll cover the expenses. It's one of the perks of the gig.
Well, that's good. They don't make you stay, so you can come back.
Very good.
Oh, man. Well, it should be nicer in Daytona than here.
I looked yesterday at the weather, and it was going to be raining on Thursday morning, my first day there. But Thursday through Sunday, after that, we should have some nice weather in the mid-60s. But again, that's all testing, shakedowns. It's kind of challenging because the first race of the season for us is like the big Daytona 500. The Daytona 500 is the biggest race for NASCAR. It's the same thing with IMSA. It's a 24-hour endurance race at the same track, at the same facility. And it's like our Super Bowl right out of the gate. And this weekend is what they call the roar before the 24. And that's when the teams get everything settled and driver lineups are settled. The cars are fitted for the drivers because, you know, 4 driving teams. It's continuous racing for 24 hours. And the driver lineups, the cars have to be fitted for each individual driver, and they got to find a happy medium. So the tall guys, You know, they may not have the leg room or the, you know, cars are adjustable, but you got to find that happy medium, and then they adjust it with seat fittings and stuff like that. You'll see guys jumping in and out of cars and take their little seat backs or whoopee cushions in and out of the cars with them so they fit. And that's what gets done this week, plus media stuff, promotional stuff, sponsor stuff. You know, it's kind of like what's going on with the auto show this week. You got all that preview stuff going on with the manufacturers and meetings and things like that. That's kind of like what we're doing this week. Dakota, you out there yet?
So roll through town. I was just listening.
Well, just as Sean and I started talking, I heard about an accident out at 34 in Van Dyke area, and I didn't know if you were there yet or past it.
I'm still north of that, but that would explain why my phone said it was going to take me 45 minutes to get to the office today.
Go ahead, Sean.
Get around 34 in Van Dyke, probably not. No, I don't know. Head over to Scott Settlement or something. Some other road that cuts you down. Good morning, Dakota. So, just plugging away here myself, feeling out of sorts.
Good morning, guys. Sean, I didn't even recognize you, dude. You sound terrible. You feeling about the same as yesterday, or worse?
Well, I don't feel bad, but I feel like I'm tired, run down, and just a little out of sorts. I don't know. Strange. Hard to describe. But, you know, it's not like I'm popping and hacking or sneezing or anything like that. No particular. It's just weird. It's like I'm run down.
No, I'll take it. Yeah, I mean, I heard you first, and I wasn't sure it was you either. But, you know, just as you were starting to talk, and I was trying to figure out it was you, the accident was talked about on my tracker here. It's just like, popped right up. That's why I jumped in with the one if Dakota was there yet or not. But he says he's north of it. So, Dakota, over to you and then back to Sean, and then I'll take it. We'll work that rotation.
Well, I hope you feel better, Sean. It's a bummer, especially right after kicking off the new year, you catch something. And we had a school bus accident like a mile from my house yesterday. I don't know. Allegedly, the car blew a stop sign and went under the bus, so I put my drone up and went and took some pictures of it. It was actually pretty bad. I don't know if any kids were under or not. I don't think anyone was hurt, but yeah, the intersection shut down, tow trucks, it was a whole mess. But I am at 37 and 53 right now, so I will let you know what that accident looks like, if it's still there. It's staying 32 minutes to the office, which is pretty normal, so I think it may have been cleared out, I hope.
Well, that would be good. Yeah, man. It's smooth sailing for me over here on 16-mile road coming up on Grossbeck. Oh, I'm going to be a bad boy if I go this morning and get a... What's that one where they mix coffee and hot chocolate? What do they call that? Mocha? Might be a bad boy and get a mocha. What do you think, Donald?
Currently, there's about a half a mile back up there, Dakota, in your last transmission. That was the update I got. Yeah, white chocolate mocha is what I get. That's my favorite drink out of there, and then I just load it up with a bunch of stuff, extra sauce, extra this, extra that. But, yeah, white mocha chocolate is what I get normally, Sean. Dakota?
Rolling up to it right here. I don't see any flashing lights, so good. And, yeah, John, there you go. Treat yourself. Feel a little bit better. Sure, hot anything at this point will be beneficial.
Yeah, I don't know why I do that, but when I'm not feeling well, I kind of throw the diet aside. I'll usually eat carbs and get myself maybe a drink that I shouldn't have. Right now, pure coffee, I think, would be difficult to get on my throat. Get that a little smoother. That's my what I had yesterday. Pistachio latte or something like that. It's pretty good. All stuff I shouldn't have. But enough on that. Oh. See, 2.6 is off the air. Everybody's heard that. Microwave checks out at the slave site, which is where the repeater is. So it's pretty much... I mean, it could be a disalignment at the slave site, which is a pain because it's the power climb. But I think it's going to be a disalignment at the prime site. So a couple of the guys have volunteered to help out. And if it doesn't get done beforehand Saturday, we're going to pop up there and try to get it squared away. So FYI on the whole... 2.6 being standalone right now.
Copy that. You're getting a little scratchy and crackly, so I don't know what adjustments you can make, but you're readable. And as far as getting somebody up there, today would be the day to do it, because after, you know, this afternoon and this evening, the bottom's going to fall out. And they're saying we won't see the 40s now until... probably mid to late February, so the next month does not look promising for any tower climbs. Dakota?
Stepped on you there a little bit, sorry. I was just asking how that alignment got out of whack. Like, is that a common thing, or is that a equipment failure thing? Just out of curiosity, because I've done point-to-points, which are similar. Not necessarily at the distances you're operating at, but I haven't had that happen, so I'm just wondering how that happens. I'm imagining it's wrapped around the tower with a pole, like hose clamps or something like that. And I've been screwing around with Meshtastic again, and I'm going to put a freaking note up on my mast, so I need to get up in the air, too, when it's freezing.
Oh, well, couple of things. First of all, yeah, I switched over to Mount Clemens, so that should take care of the scratchy. And no, it's not a normal thing, but the way they mounted the dish at the hospital, they use a non-penetrating roof mount. So that's, you know, so right out of the gate, you know, your mount's not solid. And those winds we had last Saturday or whatever it was were extremely high. I think we had peaks at 70, and yeah, I think that somehow pushed that non-penetrating roof mounted in the dish a little bit. I think the one at the prime site is, or at the slave site is fine, because it's legitimate mounted to the side of the tower. So I was always a little freaked out by that dish on that particular location because of the non-penetrating roof mount. Not a good thing for a point-to-point microwave link. Let's see what else. Oh, and Meshtastic. Yeah, I was just looking at mine the other day thinking, isn't there some new firmware or software or something? I probably got to dip my toe back in and get mine updated. Anyhow, all stuff when it comes around. Donald.
Yeah, Meshtastic, Mike, the new father there, he got into it, and I signed up with some of the Meshtastic stuff there for a while, and there's quite a few changes and improvements in both equipment, firmware, and things like that, but some of the conversations that were on the Meshtastic Discord channel were just so repetitious I got tired of listening to it and I dropped out. But yeah, the last thing I saw was changes to the firmware and new equipment, They got devices now that look like the old Blackberries. I can't think of the name of them because I've been off of it for a while. But almost got back into it, but the conversations on the Discord channel about it were just, you know, ridiculously childish. Almost sounded like GMRSers talking back and forth about, you know, the technology. So I dropped out of that. Carl?
Hey, UBS. Sean, are you guys going to, I don't know, switch that mount or put more weight on it or what? Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know why that was the move. I'm sure the hospital said don't drill any holes in the roof. Like, I'm not blaming the people that installed it. But that's a good assumption. I would say that the slave site is probably fine if it's mounted versus sitting on top of a roof. And, yeah, mesh casting's come, I don't know, it's been about a year, right, since we were all screwing around with it, and it's kind of come full circle. I could look at the pictures on my phone. But Phil, KTMR, was like, dude, you got to try it again, give it another shot. There's a lot more activity, they've made it a lot better, and I agree to an extent. I'm actually kind of having some fun with it. The range still sucks. That's never going to go away. They're low power. But it seems like there's improved hardware, like Donald said. The network seems better, so I'm just screwing around with it. I ordered a solar node I'm going to put up on my mast at home just so I have something that's always on receiving and just to keep a pulse on the area. And then I've got a couple little dinky ones that I built a Helltech, which don't buy those. Those suck battery. And then I got Seed, S-E-E-E-D, seem to be my favorite hardware right now. Super battery efficient and cheap. So just screwing around with it, getting something to do. It's freezing cold out. Why not? And no, I'm with you. I cannot follow Discords like that, especially technical Discords, because there's just too many dumb people in them.
Well, maybe it comes from being married for 40 years, but I'm very good at filtering. I'm on a lot of stuff where there's stuff that drives me up the wall, so I just kind of look at it. Wait a minute, is it my turn? I can't remember. I took I was at the drive-thru here for my coffee. I think I'm out of turn, all right?
You're fine. You're under the weather. It happens. Go on. I'll pick it up after you. It's okay.
All right. I can't remember. Where was I? I can't remember what the hell I was talking about. Oh, yeah. Mount on the hospital. Yeah, I just think that was 11:30, minute to midnight decision. You know, we were there for the dish to Detroit, the dish to Pontiac, and the dish to Sterling. I mean, to Mount Clemens and to Sterling, and the dish to the what would become the 2.6 site was an afterthought, and there wasn't a mount ready for it or anything like that. That was available in there, so that's kind of how that happened. It's just it's been Harper and City. But, and then I was talking about how I'm in a lot of things, a lot of different groups and chats and things like that. And, you got to filter, man. If you don't, there's no point. But okay at finding the diamonds in the rough, but some never have any diamonds, so you say to hell with that. All right, I got to pay for my coffee, W8FU.
Actually, Sean, if you were listening while you're paying, yeah, you are right in the rotation. I screwed up. But anyway, right or wrong, you get a mulligan for today with the way you feel. Yeah, like I said, the Mesh-tastic thing, I'm in and out. Like I said, like from the Troy Repeater, the new father, he was getting into it for the first time, and he told me to take a look at it, and I did, and like you did, Dakota, said, you know, a lot of the stuff has changed, and I guess I didn't know Phil was into it that much still, but we'll see what happens in the spring when I get, you know, my setup put up for a better antenna outside, my store glass window antenna that I have inside on my balcony, what I can put up, conceal it, get maybe a mesh testing device out there or not. 2 years ago when I first started, John from Troy, 88OD, forwarded something to Sean, and I had it on my windowsill for about a couple weeks. And that thing, yeah, I was impressed by it. I mean, it was a working device, and then Sean switched it out with one of those little Hellcat things, and that thing was just junk. But it piqued my interest enough to get started, and like I say, I just dabble my toe in it once in a while to see where they're at. So what I'm going to do, I'm not sure yet. I mean, I've got a lot of options. I mean, I'm even looking at a couple other things like the ham over IP stuff. But, yeah, I'm pretty much done with the radios for now. Dakota?
Yeah, these are by no means going to replace my radios or, you know, the other things I do. But for what they cost, how big they are, and how easy they are to mess around with, I figured why not. And being that Phil is like a mile from my house and we can actually test them thoroughly with one another, it makes it a lot more enjoyable. Before, it was super frustrating for me because there was no one to talk to because I'm in the middle of nowhere. Like, at least out there, you guys were able to make some hops and get some messages through and whatever. I couldn't do that until I was at the office, and it drove me nuts. So I was like, I got all this hardware sitting around, and it doesn't work. But, yeah, just screwing around with it, I bought the Seed WiO Tracker L1 Pro. It was like $59. The thing's got GPS. The battery lasts forever. It's got a little joystick to control it, so it's come a long way from, you know, the Helltech, which was what I started with. Again, I actually have it in my bag. I'm going to put it at the office. You know, it's like anything else. Technology advances. The firmware has gotten a lot better. And, yeah, I don't know. Well, what else? There was something else I was going to touch on. I forgot already. I'm losing it too, Sean. I'm out of it.
Well, that's all I got anymore is, I think, two or three of the Helltechs, and they work great. There's nothing wrong with those. They work just as good as the rest. In fact, they work better in some respects. But they might have been just plugging away. They've been running, like, continuously, nonstop, for months and months. Since we were into it last, they've been still, might have been plugging away. Every once in a while, I just look in on them. I don't bother looking to see, you know, if anybody's sending me anything. So, but they got a lot of traffic, you know, where I'm at. I got to update them. So that's probably something I'll get around to. But, all right, I'm pulling in the lot here. And, I'm gassed out anyhow. So I'm going to get inside, get back in my cubby hole and get to my mocha. WAW.
All right, feel better, you know, hope the mocha works, and we'll be listening for you throughout the day, and, yeah, take care of number one, that's for sure. I, myself, I got to consider packing and things like that. I already know where I'm going to pack, I just got to pack it. But, so anyway, that's it on this end. Dakota? We'll let you finish up, and you, sir, have a great day. I know you're clear of the accident, but they're still showing the accident, so I don't know why. But I guess they got to drag these things out. But anyway, you have a great day. Stay safe, and I'll be on the air again probably tomorrow morning, and then that's it for the next 4 or 5 days till I get back on Sunday night. W8RCY, over to you.
All right, Sean, feel better. Donald, if I don't talk to you, have a safe trip. I'm driving into the crater, too, so I'm going to get ready to drive here. I remember what I was going to say, that BlackBerry-looking one, don't buy it. It's terrible, I had it. Really go to check. All right, I'm going to clear because I'm probably sounding like garbage. Anyway, PDF. Everyone have a good day.
Garbage, but real. Definitely readable. Take care. WARCY.
AEA, WOJ.
WDAKOL. Check one, check two. Radio check, radio check. Anyone available for a radio check? KEAWOJ, yeah, what's your call sign? Kilo Echo 8, Victor Kilo Bravo, thank you. You're welcome, have a good day, you're loud and clear.
Turn off your audio, Chico. Citizen CD.
Turn that Roger beep off. It sounds like crap. What would the technical term for that be?
Morning, though.
Yeah,
I'm a lot better now than I was then. I'm a little stuffed, but in general, that's about the extent of it. Eyes are a little watery. But all righty, guys. Take care. Drive safe. All that good stuff. Beautiful day. And I am a block away. I'll be turning in before it comes back around to me. W8F.
Take it easy, Sean. Go ahead, Tom.
I think you're in the hole.
I thought I lost you. I said, go ahead.
I don't know what happened. I just sat there and dumped a bunch of mouth word salad, and I guess I didn't get a key click on it. I'm over to a run here that they say that card readers aren't working. And then when I talked to the POC, it was like, oh, well, no, it's the new card readers. And, I need them named. I'm like, so I'm just going to look at some stuff. I said, I don't have time to name 35 doors for you. I did all the hard work.
Speaking of card readers, I need to get you guys on a T&M contract because I'm sick of dealing with these things. And this new panel is not the same as the old panel, and neither are the locking mechanisms, nor do I feel like learning the new locking mechanisms.
Talk to the higher-ups, make it happen. We'll come out there, you know that. Me and Brad will come and knock it out for you.
That's what I'm hoping for. I need an hourly rate from you guys, and then I got to get approved, and then it shouldn't be an issue. But for the frequency, I think we're going to need you. I think it makes sense. It's not going to be too often. And it probably is more cost-effective than me spending a day or two working on something that you guys can fix in an hour.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
I'll see what I can do. I can't make any promises, but you guys have my vote because my time is very, very limited in what I can allocate to things that aren't my job.
Exactly. That's what my job does. And there's Brad, speak of the devil. All right, I'll talk to you soon. KKKGO.
Hi, Brad. NADDF.
W8RIT.
W8RIT, NADDF.
NADDF, I think the call sign was. Well, good afternoon. How are you? And I don't recognize the call sign, but good afternoon to you. My name is Dave.
Good afternoon, Dave. You've got Dakota here. I don't know if we've spoken before. Are you in the southeastern Michigan area?
Yeah. Hi, Dakota. No, I don't think we've chatted before, because I don't think your name sounds familiar. Yeah, I live in the southeast Michigan. I'm driving right now up 75, but I live over towards St. Clair Shores.
Okay, copy that. I'm out here every morning when I commute in. I live north of Sterling Heights area, so I'm about 15, 20 miles off 50.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I think you're a friend of I think we have a mutual friend, I should say. It was just on here a second ago. I was on the phone, too, with Tom, KCKJO. We both work together, although different functions. He's like more of a troubleshooting tech, and I'm an installer, so. Yeah, I've got to see about getting my mobile radio, put back in my work van here, because I had it in, and reports basically of low audio, and I think it was because of my microphone. I had the HiCom 2720, so I opened up the pinhole on the microphone itself because it's kind of offset, so I've got to see about getting that plugged back into the van here. Have something better, because right now I'm just operating extra class portable, so hopefully I'm coming through all right. I'm progressing towards downtown Detroit, just coming over the ruse right now.
Okay, copy that. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I feel like I've heard him either talk to you on the air or mention you, one of the two. But I was just actually going to say you sound great if you're not on a mobile. I'm not too familiar with the 2720. I'm on a 2730D right now, and I absolutely love this radio. So hopefully get the thing up and running.
Yeah, I think that's just the latest predecessor. I don't know what they changed in it, but probably not too much. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get that in. Wouldn't mind an HF, but I don't spend too much time in the work plane, you know, for HF, and then I have to deal with a larger antenna and hitting anything from drive-through to bridges or something. But so I'll probably hold off on that. But yeah, I'm probably, maybe today is probably a good day because it's nice and sunny out. I just got to get behind the seat and I'm losing a couple bolts, so it's not hard at all. Just to losing a couple bolts and put the clamp on it and tighten it back down and bada boom, bada bing. Well, Dakota, I got to think of a different way to rephrase this question, because this question could kind of be misinterpreted. But tell me, what kind of a ham are you? And by that, I mean, what parts of the hobby do you enjoy?
I'm not a fan. I like all the facets of the hobby, but really I've been focused on UHF, DHF. We did a ton of photo two years ago now. She was 10th life. Long story short, I'm relatively new. I think I got licensed in 2022. We got general. And then we had our third baby. So time went out the window. I sold off a ton of gear. Took a bit of a hiatus from radio. And just now, in the last couple months, really got back into it, rebuilding my kit and whatnot. But primarily, I'm just pounding repeaters and talking to the guys locally. I do have a 705. I do have an 857. But they don't use a whole lot. I haven't done a lot of HF recently. I don't know if it's because I burned myself out or because, I don't know. I think I go in phases, but I've done a lot of the things. What about you?
Well, first of all, I've been kind of lax myself the past 2 years or so. I was pretty active when I first got licensed. Almost ready another year or two for QCWA. I got licensed in, was it 2001, so. Wish I would have got licensed earlier, but I'm still enjoying the heck out of this hobby. It's a lot of fun. Now, mostly what I do is I've been doing basically a lot, I like doing a lot of DXing. As far as that goes, I'm mostly a phone guy. I do some Morse code, some CW, but I suck at it. but it's a heck of a lot easier making for DX contacts, in my opinion, with CW rather than phone. So, yeah, that's kind of where I've been hanging out at. Did some MCOM, and got some things I'd like to try out. I was watching a video about microwave, but I think I'm going to probably steer away from that because guy was talking about his high dollar to QSO rate. You know, you spend, you know, $500 on a radio, and you might make, you know, 10 contacts with the radio. So, but there's a lot of other areas I'd like to get into a little bit more than I haven't been. I've made a handful of satellite contacts with the ISS, and I'd like to try to get in a little bit more serious into other satellites, you know, with the watch out for traffic here, with some of the other offsets for the crossband for, you know, using sideband and such. So there's still a lot that I can do in the hobby, and still a lot that I like doing, so. I'm sorry, repeat that again, please. W8RAT. Yeah, I can hear you. You're a little scratchy, but I can make do. There's no problem. Well, let me ask you this: what area of the hobby would you like to get into?
With, like, I'm actually talking on a 2730 right now that's in a bag with a Dakota Lithium 7 amp hour battery. lock and an Armalock cage on it. This is my portable mobile instead of an HP because I'm in my wife's truck and she won't let me mount it permanently. So that's one area I really would like to get good in, PW, but I've done a lot of POTA. I've done a lot of, build all-star nodes and five stars and things like that. Not super crazy about digital. I'm a phone guy myself as well. My old house, I had a really nice wire antenna and a 7300. I worked all 50 with that. So, you know, right now I'm kind of just taking it day by day and you know, new topics come up and I get into some of that. I really think the next thing I'm going to focus on as soon as I have some more time is, like, the MCOM stuff. I think that's super intriguing, and I'm all about portable operations, so that's...
All right, very good, very good. Yeah, I've done a little bit of some POTA, mostly collecting them, nothing to do with operating. But yeah, that is kind of nice. I like that a lot because we all can do it anywhere just about. I've got to find some of the ones that are closer by here. I did have some friends from another club, and they're pretty active, and they go out quite a bit out to Metro Beach. Do what they call the lark in a park and play portable radio all the time, but I don't think Metro Beach is actually qualified for a POTA station, a POTA number, I guess you could say. But yeah, I'd like to do some more of that myself too as well. That way you can kind of be on the receive end of a small pile up.
I forgot to just jog my memory, so Chuck, NAZA, I was doing a lot of single sideband stuff, 2 meter single sideband on the neck. I finally got an appropriate antenna at home. I put up a Rhone 34 foot mast, and I got an 8 foot diamond V2000 tri-bander on top of it. So with my Icon 705 and an 85 watt VHF amp, I was actually screwing around on that and having a blast doing simplex. It's crazy what you can do with a little bit of power and on sideband. So that's kind of the last new thing I jumped into on the radio side. Other than that, it's been status quo. Like I said, I've just been building out these little bag radios and stuff like that. I haven't been operating a whole lot at home most of the time. And, there's always something new to do, though. I did the FD8. It was fun. It's just not for me. I work in IT, so when I get home and my hobby is another computer, which is funny because I play video games on a computer, but I don't know. I just, FD8 doesn't speak to me like some of these other things do.
Yeah, I think I'd probably be in agreement with you. FD8's kind of nice, but yeah, I tried it out, played around for a little bit, but then put it down. I'm like, yeah, it's nice to have, but just not really something that would pique my interest so much. I got a couple things somewhat related. I've got a whisper kit. I've got to see if I stick it up with an antenna so I can start doing a little propagation reporting. And, yeah, I'd like to do some more QRP myself. I've done a little bit here and there. I've got a, I haven't put together. I got a system for about the past 2 or 3 years or so, I think. I think it's called a tuna topper. And it's basically you just put it in a, tuna can, and it's just a small little QRP rig. I think it's a quarter watt, so I got to see if I can get that put together from the kit. Look at this, Dakota. What kind of, when you go operating with the 705, what kind of antenna do you use?
So before the 705, I was using an 891 and just a hand stick on 20 meters, which that was the best I ever did. I had, I don't know, I think the most, you said pileups, and I forgot to mention that. I used to go to Wetzel over at, 29. And, oh my God, North Avish area. I used to go to Wetzel. The most I had was like 200-something contacts on that exact setup. So I was running 50 watts on the 891 with a ham stick. With the 705, I just run a 40-meter NFET halfway from Xtena. But I was kind of, the whole MCOM thing got me looking at different antennas and multi-purpose antennas. So I actually found this diamond antenna. It's called the RHM12 or RH12. It'll do 70 centimeters to 160 with a different coil. So it'll do 70 centimeters to 40 out of the box, and then you can get an 80 and a 160 coil. The reason I like that antenna is because I can deploy it on a tripod with radials and pretty much operate anywhere, which is something I've been looking for a long time. You know, with a wire, you got to have a mast, which I do have a 9-meter carbon 6, no, not 9-meter. I don't know, maybe it is 9-meter. A soda beams carbon 6 super lightweight mast, which is easy to get up, but you can't get it up that high, or you got to throw it in a tree, or you got to stake something in the ground. So I was really looking for an antenna that I could deploy on a tripod, and I finally found that. And the cool thing about the tripod base I bought is it'll take any UHF mount antenna, so I can use it for all different kinds of things. But no amp, just the 10 watts on a external Dakota lithium battery, and that's pretty much it. Unfortunately, I have not taken that thing out and activated yet, though.
Hey, Dakota, tell me, what was the name of that? And it sounds kind of interesting. I'm not really too certain about going up to 70 centimeters with it, but it'd be nice to have something for portability for 10 meters through 160, although I wouldn't probably do 160 operating portable very much at all. But it'll be kind of nice, and I'm assuming it's just a vertical. Am I going to guess that it's tapped, so that way you would tap it for whatever band you're operating on?
I'm pretty positive. I haven't looked at it in a minute. It's the Diamond RHM-12. They sell it at Gigaparts. It's like $180. And then the mount is a different Diamond part number that I do not remember, but that one's it's like $100. It's almost the same price as the antenna, but it's very, very convenient. It's got a quarter 20 on the bottom for a tripod. It's got radial studs on it, and then it's got a SO239 on the top. So you can, if you really wanted to, you could throw a mobile antenna on that thing on a tripod and, sit in the field and operate off of that. I don't know how the ground plane would be because it's not a vehicle, but it's a cool antenna. It's not a pegged or pinned antenna like a Comet toy box. It's a screwdriver antenna style. So it's got a little tension ring that you loosen to slide it up and down. It's got markings on for the different band that you're trying to work, and then you just tighten it back down. The tricky part is getting it to be resonant in the area that you're working, and that's something I haven't perfected yet.
Okay, I think I can get the gist of what you're talking about. A friend of mine had one, probably pretty similar to what you're describing for his mobile, and it basically had a little thumb wheel on the back, and I think it had it graduated, looked kind of like a ruler, but it was, 0 through 100, and he just had it set for 10 meters, he would set it at 92 or whatever, whatever he had it marked off at, and he just had to get out and swap it out pretty quick, adjust it up or down to whatever band he was operating on. But yeah, I think I'd kind of like to do something like that myself. I've got one that I'm trying to think who made it. I bought one commercially built, and I put one together myself just out of, a threaded rod, and I used a slinky and stuff like that too as well. And it works all right, but yeah, I'd like to get something better. And speaking of antennas you miss, like you made mention earlier, I used to live out towards Marine City, out by 26 Mile Road in Palms. And at that time, I had a 160-meter full wavelength loop up, and boy, I missed that antenna a lot. I mean, no antenna is perfect, but that antenna was pretty darn good for being able to receive quite a bit. So right now, I just got a 40-meter quarter wave dipole up in the backyard, so it works, but eventually I'd like to see about getting a tower at the beam, but that's going to probably wait a little while.
At HDBS. That's the tough part about HF, and maybe part of the reason I don't do it as much as I used to, and why I care about portable more than working from home. It's a good antenna at my house. I don't have any trees. The farmer cut everything down in the area, so right now I've got a Nelson N-Fed half wave, what is it, six, it's either a 6 or a 10 to one, to 80, and it's just hoisted up on my Rhone mast about halfway, maybe two-thirds of the way up, and then I'm just running the insulator end to the tree line, or what was the tree line, and it's tied off on a T-post, so it's not optimal. But it works, it hears, I get out, it's not great. My old house, I had the same antenna, but it was kilowatt rated for whatever reason. And I had the transformer up about 30 feet, and then it was sloping up to about 90 feet into a giant tree. So similar to what your old setup was, not obviously not a loop, but it just could hear everything because it was so far up and away from any sort of noise. That and I had a 7300, so I was actually running 100 watts off it. So I do miss that setup a lot. But the reason I like these multi-mode antennas or multi-band antennas, I've got an 857, which is an all-mode, and I got a 705 that's an all-mode. So figured if I'm going to screw around with these things, and that 857, I kind of put together a kit for the MCOM stuff whenever I get time to do it. But I can jump out there and do HF, and then I can easily switch over and do UHF, VHF.
And WARIT, yeah, I've also got to see about getting the echo back with MCOM too myself, though I ran into a little problem, got a little irritated with Macomb County, so may not want me at the time, but I'd like to see about doing that, getting back active with that, because that's something pretty important to the hobby as far as that goes, because it not only, you know, presents our hobby to the public, but it also shows, you know, how we can be of use to them as well, too, you know, to be able to put something back in or taking out of, I guess you could say. But you're going to see about probably doing all my IS courses over again. Not hard at all. And I was, you know, I've been telling Tom and some other people, because I don't know why people complain about that from what I've heard, you know, doing your IS courses, because, well, for one thing, they're free. You can take them and do it as many times as you want. And it's open book, open note. So, you know, I got to see about getting back in doing all that. I mean, I could go get my transcript, but I figured, yeah, you know what, I'll just refresh myself and, you know, get back up to speed again.
What is that course? I'm kind of curious. And, yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you're capable of passing the test to get your tech or general or extra or whatever you decide to land on, an additional cert shouldn't be that difficult, especially if it's open book and open note.
Yeah, I was referring to the FEMA courses, the IS courses, independent study. You know, I think it's for 22, 100, 200, and all that. And so, yeah, it's pretty simple to do. And, you know, it's knowledgeable. It gets you an idea of how you're fitting in, too, as well. But a lot of it goes to, I think, is really just getting out and practicing and, you know, participating, you know, with a local group. That way you have, you know, develop bonds and you start practicing what you're intending on using later.
That's my biggest hesitation to get involved with anything is I just think there's always going to be a variety of people that have gear and don't know how to use it. And that's a pet peeve of mine. Like, I hate not knowing how to use my stuff. And if I'm going to use it, I make sure I know how to use it kind of deal. So I agree. You know, it's no different than anything else you do in life. It's the same principle of, like, you know how to use the tools you have. That's one of my hesitations. Aside from, like I keep saying, the time constraint, I can't commit to anything right now.
Yeah, well, like I say, it's a hobby, so you just got to spend the time you can, and just whatever you're able to is what you're able to. Yeah, I say it's been a while since I've done anything with MCOM, but you know, I used to run a lot of nets and all that too. So, I say it's something I haven't done too many activities lately with any kind of bike rides or anything like that. But it has to be coming up shortly. Used to be kind of active when I was out in St. Clair County, because it's kind of a small group that we had there, and I actually just started taking over because basically nobody really wanted to act as the EC, so I just kind of played it out by ear as best I could while I was there until I moved back down here to Macomb County. But it was just kind of like, I don't know, just a different kind of atmosphere there, because it was almost like they didn't want to be part of Michigan in some ways.
Yeah, you'll have that too. Any sort of governing body or group, there's going to be cliques and disagreements and things like that, which one other thing I'm not too keen on is being told I have to do X, Y, and Z or whatnot. So I don't know. I haven't looked into it. I would like to at some point. I got the gear. I want to play with the gear. You know, everyone, not everyone, but I've had plenty of my friends and family go, where's your tinfoil hat? And then, you know, a nasty storm rolls through and we lose power or internet and, you know, I'm able to turn on the weather service on just stupid things, you know, just getting updates on the radio, which used to be standard back in the day. And I just like having that capability. That's all. I carry a radio in my backpack every day. I don't do anything crazy with it. I hardly even use it, but it's just an ICOM ID50. It's wideband received, so I can listen to a bunch of crap if I need to. Some of our safety guys bought some radios on Amazon the other day. I'm like, give me that. Let me see if we can use this thing. And I was able to figure out what it's transmitting on. So just little tools like that make life easier.
And W8RAT. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that, because that's one thing that I do like, because there's a lot of information that you're able to find with the radio, and not even just with amateur radio. You know, so you can listen, like you mentioned, find out your weather, get the time from WWV, and there's a lot of other sources for, you know, weather. You can listen to your local airport for their ATIS or something like that. Because that's something that I haven't been doing too much with ham radio, HF or VHF especially, but I have been kind of active. I listen to just about everything. Well, not quite, but I run the gamut from, I don't know, DC to daylight just about. I've been playing around with my SDR and finding out all sorts of new ways that I can experience different forms of radio with that. And still ways to go. If I still areas I haven't done anything with it yet that I'd like to play around with. So always something to do. But yeah, it's something to be informative about too. But I don't know. I guess you have to wait till maybe the time comes when you do have some, you know, major disaster, and then you're able to pull through for them and find out some information or pass some messages for them. And another tune might change.
Might be a little rough here. I'm going through town. Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. And I got into this entire hobby almost as a, I don't want to say joke, that sounds derogatory, but it was kind of like a bet. I got a buddy of mine who's a cop, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, all these cops, you try to get their ham license and they fail because the test is so hard. I'm like, there's no way it's that hard. So just to, out of spite, basically went and got my tech, and I bought an FP60, and I started screwing around with it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is cool, this is useful, there's a lot of stuff I can actually play with and do here. And amateur radio applies to a lot of other things too. Like you can, I'm allowed to use more transmit power for flying drones and things like that. And there's plenty of other things that I haven't even looked at. And you talked about SDR. I've got a hack RF that I hook up to my computer, and I just kind of screw around and look at all the different radio waves and the RF in the area. It's kind of fascinating. It's intriguing. There's always something to learn to do. That's why I like it. I'm not huge on necessarily the radio part other than my commute time, but I do like having those tools. That's why I like these wideband receive radios.
So let me ask you this. I've heard a couple things, some rumors going around. I guess some are talking about that they'd like to stop or cease AM transmitters. But what would you think about this idea? I'm wondering if this will ever catch on since the availability of the SDR. I wonder if they'll ever incorporate that into like a automotive radio for, you know, for the masses, and then being able to widen what you can listen to with it. Years ago, I was kind of drooling over what, like before I even had my driver's license even. But many moons ago, but I was kind of drooling over a, it was a flop on that you're typing out. It was commercial radio with shortwave, but that was a time when shortwave radio, you know, the broadcast stations were much more popular than they are today. I've listened a little bit, but there's very little that I like listening to, because I like listening mostly to, not domestic stations, but foreign stations. And preferably the ones who speak in English, although I don't mind music, because anybody can listen to music, but there's getting to be far fewer of them. So So, but what do you think? Do you think we'll ever have something, some technology with the FDR incorporated in a car radio?
WABTD.
WDA KOL.